The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the night, during the middle of the night or near dawn, and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'll admit, coming back from churchwide and my chaplain conference, it was a lot of information, and I wrestled with what I should share immediately, and I just wanted to share it all, even though I have a lot to learn and look into and study. And so the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God, showed up and hopefully streamlined it a little bit. And we still have some other days, perhaps few, or hopefully our new pastor will be called in God's time, right? So, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Do you know? Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. How many of us have dealt with natural disaster, man-made disaster, the brokenness and sin of this world, or our own sin that has stolen or destroyed ours or another's treasure? How disappointing and heart-wrenching has that been? The indescribable aches and pains we have endured or caused others by our actions or inactions, known or unknown, by patterns being repeated and ignorance of how we exist and affect others in the world is sometimes unspeakable, but known to God and others involved. The good news is Jesus weeps with us and for us. Having entered into our flesh and having suffered with and for us, bearing the suffering of the world on the cross, and once again comforts us with these words. Do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he tells us to repent and reorient our lives on God and God's values, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. On a mission trip to New Orleans a few years after Hurricane Katrina, our group helped the Habitat for Humanity nonprofit organization. We were one of many, many groups of volunteers that helped a tiny bit in building a house in an area that was devastated by the levee breaking. We were blessed to help there and meet the person whose house it would be, who contributed their own sweat equity into this building. We heard the stories, and we got to know them a little better. We helped at a school that had been displaced due to flooding. We heard and saw the children and how a natural disaster and a man-made disaster could cause so much harm and fear and distress. And this was years later. We heard of the heartbreaking effect of the poorest section of town that was wiped out. We heard from local residents that the last 3 years, in spite of this devastation, had brought the kingdom of God near to them through the countless volunteers that came to help God's people of New Orleans, to help them rebuild from the devastation. Later, we were entertained by local socialites of the town, the generational New Orleans High Society, as they called themselves. You can't just move into New Orleans and live 20 years and expect yourself to be one of them. They are a generational family. They hosted us, and having tea with one lady, I commented on the beautiful dollhouse that sat beside me. As I was sitting, it was taller than my height, and it was intricate, every level decked out with meticulous detail. She said that it was given to her as a little girl, and she used to admire it, but was never allowed to play with it. But ever since the flood devastated even her house, she had a change of heart and has allowed her granddaughter to play with it. We often have our priorities out of order and are distracted by them, that we do not see what is missing in our lives. We often don't see what is going on with our neighbor or feel that loving our neighbor as ourselves means suffering in silence because that is how we were raised. If we don't seek help in community ourselves, we don't think others should need it, and we hold them by the same standards that we were given. Because too many times we don't see our own privilege. We are privileged to not have to worry about many things our neighbors of different skin color, ethnicity, gender identity, religious or sexual orientation have to worry about. There are not laws on the books or economic barriers or generational stigmas that keep us from moving into neighborhoods, going to good schools, keeping jobs, or getting health insurance for ourselves or our partners, our children, or our spouses. We don't have to worry about having to prove ourselves until we are respected. Yes, we feel the need to prove ourselves and earn respect, but not on account of our skin color for most of us. We aren't fleeing violence, most of us aren't. In poverty, currently, most of us aren't. In hopes of a new and better life for ourselves and our kids. Yet there are so many in our society that are marginalized and oppressed here in the 21st century that God is calling us to see and to welcome, to feed and listen, to hear their stories and share our perspectives. And growing together in Christ's love and grace, work together to see how we can make our community, our nation, and our world more just, as Jesus told his disciples. To be great is to be a servant of all. Today's gospel reading is divided into three sections. It begins with good news Jesus shares, that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. And then it goes on and creates anxiety and talks about being prepared for the return of Jesus at the end time. It can easily be heard as law, when rather we are called to focus on the gift of God's kingdom given to us in baptism, a claim on our very own life as God's beloved, forgiven children in Christ crucified and risen. We are each joined to Christ and one another as part of God's family, where we are equally loved, included, power is shared, and promised new and eternal life in Christ. And we are also, through the Holy Spirit, each of us given vocation to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to call us to be ready so that when God calls us to help spread the kingdom of God on earth by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, reorienting our lives and our treasure on God and God's gifts to us in baptism and Holy Communion, we are ready to spring into action and taking up our own cross, follow Jesus to the cross as we lay down our lives for our neighbor by working for justice and peace in the world as risen people, freed from sin, and bound to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our society is getting more inundated with info. Our social media accounts and shopping habits are being targeted to sell us information that is divisive in serving the pockets and power of a few, rather than unifying us around the work of the common good. We are increasingly more connected, yet paradoxically more disconnected from the plight of our neighbor due to all the distractions, propaganda, busy lives oriented around things that can be taken and destroyed. And we find ourselves more and more exhausted and in need of good news. And when I turn on the news, as perhaps you do, I am reminded of the suffering of the world by the recent shootings over the last week. I don't even have time to know the numbers of innocent lives taken by those who neither knew the love of God nor had their lives turned upside down by God's grace, with a willingness to follow Jesus and help bring about God's kingdom of love, dignity, and respect for all people. The shootings and the hate crimes can seem so distant with our busy, privileged lives, and after feeling the sadness briefly, we can easily stop watching the news stories, as I do, and move on with our lives, while others live with the consequences of hate and violence for the rest of their lives. We are quick to blame and ignore and allow for hate to be bold and demeaning with the excuse that we are tired of political correctness. We have no part in the perpetuation of hate that we believe when we are silent or when we don't spring to action. But we do have a part. Instead, we are called to trust in God's grace for the forgiveness of our sin and called to live into our baptismal call to work for God's justice and peace in the world. It's not easy. But the good news is that Jesus loves us and he gives us new life in him from our death. Each and every day we confess our sin and admit to God how we fall short of God's glory. We are made whole in Christ Jesus. when you come forward for Holy Communion, trust that God's grace is sufficient. Trust that you are redeemed and renewed and equipped by the Holy Spirit. And pray and ask God to help you. Maybe to speak up the next time someone says something that really isn't part of God's vision for the world. Maybe to do something that God is equipping and calling you to do. When I had a wedding in Massachusetts, I was blessed to borrow liturgical supplies from a church. And outside that church, the marquee read, "Learning to have conversations around difficult topics by holy listening sessions. Join us every Wednesday to see where the Spirit leads us." Perhaps the Spirit is calling us to be united, to see each other as beloved, forgiven children of Christ, regardless of how we vote, how we think, how we've lived our lives, but to love one another and hear one another's stories and invite people who are not like us so we can hear firsthand what they're going through and let the Spirit move us and teach us how to bring the kingdom of God near to them and all people here on earth. Wherever the Spirit leads us, may you leave today trusting in the good news. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thanks be to God.